Previously on the Adventure Zone.
So I went out and I tried to find Thacker. He left years ago. He kept records of his studies in his journals.
The van is empty. All of these supplies and all of these tools are gone. They are not in the van.
We got to get this thing back to the lodge or this person.
I know,
but look at it, man. It's going to die if we don't do something.
I would like to speak to this creature.
You see this faint sort of orange light pulsate out of where Aubrey touches this goat man. And the goat man stands up from the table and sort of gets yanked back by the handcuff attached to its wrist and looks at you, Duck, and he smiles and he says,
Duck!
Goat man just said Duck's name. Begin.
Yes.
Create.
We'll take it. Let's just hop right back in. That's like we're right in that moment where this goat man has just said your name, Duck, while staring at you with just right in the peepers. He's got some like yellow eyes with sort of vertical slits, sort of goat. I mean, they're goat eyes. He has
they're
the features
eyes.
Of a guy, but a bipedal sort of humanoid form, bit taller than you, and he has said.
I guess I should check with you, Griffin. This is the first time that any of us ever heard a goat man talk. Are there any sort of erotic awakenings that we need to be aware of? Just want to check
question.
In.
Second.
Technically, it's the second time because you all have met Vincent, the goat man, in Sylvain.
Oh, that's
and
fair.
I guess my follow-up question is, did that have any erotic awakenings?
Well,
I will admit, I've been pretty unplugged from social media as of yet, so I don't know what the erotic fan art of Vincent situation is, but I don't have my finger on that pulse anymore.
Pretty hot.
Well, to be fair, Griffin, Justin, I think, if I may, is both asking about our characters, but also us, the players. Within us, has that caused any awakening?
Sure. Let's all roll to act under pressure, I guess.
Okay.
And this is Justin, Dad, and Travis. Yeah.
Right?
If you roll poorly, you're going to make a hard move.
I got an 8.
I love that.
This is nothing. Okay.
I rolled a 6.
Okay.
You rolled a 6.
and unpause.
Duck.
Holy shit.
Duck?
Duck.
Yeah, it's me. Hey, little partner, how you feeling?
It sort of looks at the wound in its shoulder and like touches it. I'm guessing you've like dressed it, I'm imagining, with like bandages at some point, or is it sort of just exposed stitch? It's almost certainly bandages, right? He touches his shoulder and kind of just nods a little bit and gives what you sort of detect as like a faint smile.
Can you understand us? Yeah?
It nods and says, Duck!
Cool.
My name is Duck. I am Duck. Welcome to English.
101.
Mayamo Duck. Hey, what are you doing here? Like, broadly speaking.
It starts to gesture with both hands, and one of its hands is sort of restrained to the table still with the handcuffs, and so it kind of gets pulled back, and it looks down at the handcuffs and sort of tries pulling it a few more times. It looks like confused about the concept of handcuffs. It just kind of looks up at you confused and says, Duck!
We could probably dispense with those, couldn't we, Duck?
Let's kind of go ahead and get him untied.
Just as a gesture of goodwill.
Sure. You pop off the handcuffs, and the goat man kind of rubs his wrist, and then gives another smile, this time to all three of you, and says, Duck!
Should I hug him? Like, I don't know what I'm to do here.
Yeah, you know, I think if I may, just kind of first things first, and this, if I may be a little blunt, new friend, are you all making the bad stuff happen?
He looks nervous. He looks nervous when you ask him this question. He looks, what's the right word? He looks sort of conflicted, and he sort of looks, and then he looks down at the ground. He looks almost embarrassed now, and he nods his head up and down.
Are you making the bad stuff happen accidentally?
He just looks fucking confused, because that's a very confusing question.
Do you have a good reason?
The goat man looks up at you and says, duck, and then clears his throat a few times, and then says, grow. It says grow if you don't speak Griffin goat English.
Grow? What does he mean, grow?
Grow.
Is that why you took Danimal's tools to help something grow?
He looks excited, and he nods his head up and down. Yes, yes, yes. And he actually kind of, like, grabs you by the arms. Like, I think he's, like, this is so new to him, like, being able to converse with human beings, and the fact that he's just had, like, a thought that he tried to get across, and then he succeeded in that, and somebody got it. He's, like, he's totally stoked.
If you show us what you're growing, will that help us understand why you're doing what you're doing?
All of a sudden, like, he remembers himself, and he lets go of Ned, and he looks sort of defeated, and now he just, like, hops back up on the table and sits down and shakes his head no.
It's a pot farm. He's growing pot. Goat pot.
The strongest pot known to man.
Goat weed. It's horny goat weed. I thought we were getting somewhere. Duck, he seems to like you, so...
Hey, partner, let's clarify something. Do you mean us any harm?
He is thinking very, very hard. And then he looks up at you and just kind of very slowly shakes his head no.
Okay.
All right. You know what? I can believe you, Duck. No, sorry.
Goat?
That's not you. That's not your name, is it? That'd be weird.
What a coincidence.
He kind of tilts his head to the side, like, huh?
Can we call you Jeff?
He shrugs his shoulders. If that's really what you... Is that sort of first thought, what you want to name this character? I feel like maybe...
I think Billy would be our first choice, right?
Billy is good. Billy's
Billy
better.
Is good. Let's go with Billy. Yeah, Billy I like. Because you know what? Maybe during those more serious times, he can be William.
He nods in approval. Okay, I am now Billy. I am Billy now. You hear the cellar door open, and
mom's home.
Barclay is actually the one who comes down the stairs, and he looks sort of he looks a little harried, and he
he's a Bigfoot.
Well, he's not right now. He runs into the room and sees the now conscious goat man, and he looks kind of nervous, but then sort of surmises that you guys don't seem nervous, so that everything's okay. And he says, "Oh, okay, so we just have a goat man now."
Well, we don't have him.
Yeah,
Martha.
We don't own it. He's a friend. He's a dear friend.
He's here. Come on.
That doesn't mean us any harm.
I meant like on the team. Gang, I am not entirely sure this is the best idea. If you want to go along with it, what's the plan with our new pal here?
Yeah, so we brought him in for... I'm about to say we brought him for questioning, and I'm feeling dumb as I'm saying it. But that is about as close to a plan as I got. He got injured, see? And I'm brought him back here to save his life, and then...
Barclay was there for that.
Oh, right. So you remember that.
Yeah.
And then Ari gave him a magic spell to make him talk. And then...
You can do that?
I mean...
One word.
Apparently. Yeah.
And then the good man says, duck!
Yeah. More, I gave him a spell to help him understand. He can understand us now.
Grow!
Yeah, we got
two words. Grow. Two words.
Duck
right.
and grow. Duck grow. Is about as far as we gotten.
Pizza.
Okay. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. The pizza sign. Is that something?
Pizza.
Okay. I didn't even think about that. I was making a joke, but sure, yeah, the pizza okay. sign was there.
You can't make jokes, Griffin. I take this very seriously.
No, yeah, no, you did a good job of connecting it to canon. Barclay says, how transparent are we going to be about our, I guess, not captive, but new pal?
Is there anybody upstairs who is a goat person in real life or in...
I think you would know. Like, you've lived in Amnesty Lodge for a long time now. You know there is no... Well, there are no...
Wait a minute, What about Vincent? Could we not call him in?
He can't come over,
yeah. And you get the idea that maybe bringing this thing over into Sylvain is also not an awesome idea. You all hear the phone ring upstairs, actually, and... you hear Danny answer it. You hear it like through the floor. You hear Danny shout for Duck. She says, Duck, phone.
We'll cover the goat man. We'll hang out with the goat man with Billy.
He has a name.
Yes, with Billy.
I have an idea. Could Ned check out Thacker's archives and see if there's anything in them about goat men?
There's really just the one book, but if you want to do that, you are more than welcome.
I think I would be interested in doing that, because I thought maybe I could also do, investigate a mystery and see if Ned could get a couple of questions answered that way by checking out the archive.
Sure, so you're going to do that. Aubrey, you're just keeping an eye on Billy.
I'm going to keep up with the gentle interrogation.
Okay, Duck, are you going up to the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's start with Aubrey. What do you ask Billy?
So there are three of you, right?
He nods his head. Yes.
And you're from Sylvain?
He cocks his head to the side. He looks kind of confused.
You're not from Sylvain.
Doc.
Is that yes?
He shakes his head no.
Okay. so he can shake his head no and say duck. If only there was another nod that could communicate more information. Any head movement at all.
This is some real I am Groot shit going on right. here.
Very much so. Ned, the only sort of surviving text, the only one that that Mama brought back when she was over, sort of trapped on the dark side in Sylvain, is just a single book. It was the book that kind of revealed, like, the only information that we knew was in that book is that he couldn't find the source of the abominations while sort of out exploring in Sylvain. But as you flip through it, why don't you investigate a mystery and we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see what we glean.
Investigate a mystery. That is 7 plus 2 for sharp. So that's a 9.
A 9. Okay. And, so on a 7 and a 9, you...
I get how many?
You get one question here. What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? What is being concealed here? And keep in mind that, like, it has to be in context with, like, what could be in this book of notes from Thacker.
Then I think the only one that would be in there would be, what sort of creature is it?
Yeah, I think that's for sure. There is a... the first, like, third of the book is just sort of drawings and notes on the physiology of certain, like, types of beings over in Sylvain. There are some notes about the spectral sort of beings that are over there, which are sort of born when one of the Sylvans die, sort of in the presence of the crystal in the center of town. They sort of get to live on in these sort of spectral forms. There are some notes about the what are just called Sylvans that are sort of the more... vampiric, sort of more humanoid, sort of magically imbued beings over there. Folks like Danny and like Janelle. And then there are notes about the beast folk. And these are creatures that according to the notes, just like used to be animals over on Earth and then found their way into the various gates that opened up across the world throughout the history of time. And as they sort of spent time in Sylvain, in this alien world, they were slowly, actually not slowly, sort of compared to like evolution on Earth, like actually very, very quickly transformed into these new forms. The origin of like Goatman is like a goat wandered through a portal one day, and then, you know, maybe a couple of generations later is a bipedal sort of humanoid goat creature. But there, it's not just goat creatures. Like, there's entries on, you know, bear folk and fish folk and bird folk and all kinds of beast folk. And so, like, goat people are definitely, like, a type of being over in Sylvain. And by, like, all measure, like, this thing looks a lot like it. Not exactly like you've met Vincent. It's certainly like a bit bigger than Vincent, a bit more sort of imposing than Vincent, you would say. There are some like subtle differences, but like, yeah, this thing looks a lot like Vincent. Duck, you head upstairs to answer the phone. I think Barclay heads back up to the lobby with you. And as you get to the lobby, you see some of the folks that you know from the lodge up there. You see Jake Kulai sort of polishing a board. You see Agent Stern reading a lamplighter. This is sort of like something he does every morning, is cracks open the new lamplighter and looks for leads. And Danny hands you the phone as you come up. And as you put it to your ear, you hear a voice say, "Hello there. Nice work with the train, Duck. Zero fatalities. I think that's pretty laudable."
"Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. We do what we can."
You hear Indrid say, "I thought you would like to know that all of my visions have changed, Duck. Every single one of them. In the blink of an eye, all of the futures that I saw disappeared and were replaced by others. And as far as I could tell, Duck, this happened when you saved that goat man."
"Oh, my impulse is to say I'm sorry. I don't know if that's applicable."
He laughs on the other end of the phone, and you hear him say, "I'm not certain it was all bad. This goat man is going to be in a lot of the futures that I see. He is, as far as I can tell, quite important."
"A beloved character."
He says, "You are going to need to keep him safe, and you're going to need to keep him undiscovered, and you're going to need my help to do so. Bring him to me."
Are you going to hurt him? Because I'm kind of put a lot of work into keeping him alive."
"I have no intent on hurting him. Although he may get hurt, yes. Yeah, you're going to go ahead and need to save him and your friends downstairs. Look outside." And through the window, next to sort of the table where the phone is, you see these big, fat, fluffy flakes falling from the sky. And Indrid says, "I can't see the exact shape of it, Duck. It's pretty dark, but they are in danger right now." And sure enough, Ned and Aubrey, you hear a sound that sounds like a pin drop, like a small piece of metal falling to the floor. And you all turn towards the sound and see that the net that was hanging up over the kitchen area where Thacker has been sort of imprisoned, one of the hooks like holding it up has just like fallen out of the wall. And now a corner of the net is just hanging loose. And in a flash, Thacker, who is just like sitting on the floor, looking down at the ground, like almost unconscious, he just springs straight upward and scrambles across the ceiling through that gap in the net. He is crawling above you, towards you, and he like cranes his neck almost completely around. And you see his face that was just calm a moment ago. Now it's just like slobbering black slime into this long, unkempt beard and grinning this abnormally wide grin. He is crawling across the ceiling towards you. What do you do?
I'm probably already back down there.
Okay.
I mean, as soon as he said that, I would have come down there, I think.
Okay. Yeah, you are. I'll give you like you are on the stairs as you see Thacker on the ceiling. He like quickly like cranes his almost backwards head toward you, and then looks back down at Ned and Aubrey and just like hisses.
Ned makes a beeline with the book to the safe room.
Okay. All right. I don't even think you need to roll for that. If that's your plan, then go for it. You grab the book, you head to the safe room. Are you shutting the door?
As Ned's running, and him taking the book is not necessarily a conscious move. It's just that he has it with him. He's not doing any of this to, you know, protect the book or anything. He's doing it to protect himself. But he calls back over his shoulder and says, last one to the safe room is a rotten egg.
And okay, takes you off. Run into the safe room. This is very Ned. This is peak Ned. This is the aesthetic ideal of Ned Chicane, and I'm very, very into it. Aubrey or Duck, what do you do?
I'm going to say, Billy, don't hurt him, I think, right?
Billy doesn't even look concerned. Like, Billy doesn't know, like, that's not what a human being is supposed to look like, that's not what a human being is supposed to look like. So he just like kind of nods and says, pizza.
Okay, cool. Go follow Ned.
He very quickly sort of canters over to the safe room.
Here, Billy. Come on, Billy.
He has some trouble fitting in fitting in, you know, in general. He's a big goat man, but he also has trouble fitting in.
Oh, but not just like socially.
Yeah, sure.
Well, his language skills kind of hold him back a little bit.
Sure. Duck, what do you do?
I'm probably going to tackle Thacker and try to bring him down.
He is up on the ceiling.
Yeah, I'm going to
it's a cellar. It's a cellar, so it's totally like not a very high ceiling.
Right.
But like tackle might not be the right verb you'd have.
Not punch him in the face, but try to like get him on
the ground. Tear him, get him down.
As one might do when trying to catch a bat flying around the
room. Sure. There's a move actually in the playbook called Geem on Down, and it's GEEM on down.
Get on down for now.
So this would probably be, are you trying to do harm?
I'm not trying to do harm, I guess, though. It's more like, it may be closer to act under pressure, because I'm just trying to like get him and restrain him. Like, I'm not trying to like beat him up.
I think it's definitely act under pressure. If you're not trying to hurt him, then it's not kick some ass, right? When you get into the kick some ass, literally says when you get into a fight and kick some ass, roll plus tough. You're not getting into a fight, although like it definitely, you can sense ill intent. It could definitely become a fight very quickly. You sense that this thing wants to hurt everybody in the room very, very badly.
I am currently doing the like friend grabbing his drunk friend and trying to pull him off before an actual fight can occur. That is my to be verb currently.
Okay. What do you, so you're just running, get him on down, trying to just like grab him off the ceiling. Go ahead and roll plus cool for act under pressure. How cool is Duck?
So cool. Oh, you're wanting me to numerically quantify. This is a 2 plus.
Oh, that is cool.
Oh, that's an unrecognized command. What did I do wrong? Oh. Roll 2D. 6 plus 2 is 8.
Okay. On a 7 and 9, the keeper is going to give you a worse outcome, hard choice, or price to pay. I think I might just do price to pay. You grab him, you just sort of wrap your arms around his waist as he is hanging off the ceiling and pull him down. And as he does, he has his fingernails have grown sort of long and gruesome. They sort of have sort of this same kind of black like plaque that is on various parts of his body, just this sort of just tar like substance that is sort of all over him and dripping from his mouth right now. He scratches you pretty hard across the neck, and that scratch feels like, it feels awful. It feels very, very bad. Not in like a like you've been gored kind of way, but in a like unnatural, like it burns. So take one harm, ignore armor from this scratch.
Okay.
Ned, Aubrey?
I'm going to look in my laboratory. So one of the parts of big magic is to require ingredients.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for like a potion in the laboratory. So I think it would be like probably an act under pressure. And then also maybe a use magic roll. I want him to go to sleep.
Okay, yeah, I think this would be... We can say that, like, this conflict is happening, like, he jumped down on you inside the laboratory, so this is you literally, like, your back up against a cabinet, like, reaching for whatever the fuck you can get your hands on to, like, throw
it.
He's,
like, on duck.
He's, like, on duck right now.
And so, like, I throw the... Like, I'm... So I think it would be... Maybe it's an act under pressure to find the right battle, and then an act under pressure to aim and not hit duck.
I don't like the idea of doing two rolls in a row. I want to definitely just do it with one. Okay. Let's make this like fair. Is this reasonable? Is this logical? Like, is your magical library? Have you been doing fucking Snape's potion class homework? Like in your laboratory,
tranquilizers?
Making? Yeah, is that really what you've been doing in here? Or
I would like, say that that. I can make a strong argument for the fact that with all the abominations and stuff, one of the first things we'd be working on is, like, tranks, right? Like, that to me...
Yeah, but then I would have to, like, give you that, right? And then you could use tranks on any... Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just sort of adding an arrow in your quiver.
I think that at least gives you the possibility of the action, whether or not he is successful... In that,
that's it. That's
question.
That's it.
It's like you, but this you do have the narrative framing for logistically why he wouldn't just be like randomly grabbing bottles.
What I love, the role is not for you to throw a bottle at this guy. You're right up against him. You can do it. It is whatever the contents of the bottle are going to be. Maybe you have been trying to alchemize some sort of like potion or toxin or something that can help you in your hunts. It is not final. You have not. Has not been beta tested. So like you can roll act under pressure and that is going to determine what this
Let's
thing
do
does.
It.
Okay.
Okay. Ned is going to do help out.
Oh.
You are in the safe room.
Door's open.
Okay, I rolled a 7.
Plus?
And I don't have any plus. So, mixed success.
Help out would not help out, because that only adds 1 to the roll, which would get them to 8. Mixed success is fine. Here is the... Now I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't think I can offer you a hard choice on what the contents of the potion is. I think you already kind of... Rolled the hard 6 on this, and it's kind of up to me to decide what happens. What's the potion look like? You actually describe the action to me.
I'm going to say, like, starts to reach for the purple vial, but then reaches for the more purple vial and can't remember shit, and grabs the more purple vial and kind of flings it at their feet, and it, like, spreads into, like, a gas.
Okay. It gets scared, actually. Thacker gets scared as you throw this bottle, and he recoils, like, right into the gas. And the gas very, very quickly sort of dissipates. And for, like, a second, he looks like he's getting kind of sleepy. But he also looks like he is, in an effort to try to stay conscious, getting, like, angrier. Now his eyes are, like, completely pitch black. Like he's wearing like those cool pitch black eye contacts that like you know bassists wore in mm-hmm. the early aughts their cool music videos. That he looks like he is actually whipped into a frenzy. So the mixed
Aubrey
success
just
there
real
is
quick, Aubrey real quick just grabs a clipboard where she's been keeping notes. C-.
Yeah. Okay.
Less purple.
Duck.
Close.
Duck, I think you are up. This thing is off you now, but looks like super, super pissed off. I keep saying
so
this
I
thing.
So I did it succeed is, in getting it off of Duck. Like, so now it's just like...
You succeeded in that Thacker has been tranquilized, right? Thacker may go down very, very soon, but before he does, he's going to fucking rage. So...
He will not go quietly.
He will not go quietly into that good night. Duck, what do you do?
Hey, man, I'm real sorry about this. And I punch him in the face.
Okay. This is going to be a kick some ass.
Yes, it is. It is, Griffin. It is going to be that. But I also, I'm trying to knock him out. So
okay.
Give him a little brain duster.
All right, go ahead and roll that beautiful bean footage.
All right, got a...
There we go.
There it is. It's a 9 plus... tough. It's 11.
All right. On a 10 plus, you deal harm and they deal harm to you. You choose an extra effect. You gain the advantage, gain plus one forward or plus one to another hunter. You inflict terrible harm. You suffer less harm. You force them where you want them.
I'm gonna toss him into the safe room.
Yikes.
With Ned and the goat man?
Yeah. And I'm gonna yell, y'all get out of there.
I'm trying to figure out like what's gonna be best here. You definitely like punch him and he is loopy, but I don't know that you can just like chuck him like a ball. But you can definitely toss him in the direction of the safe room, and then I guess it's up to Ned and Billy to get out of there. To get on out of there.
Yeah.
Get on out.
Okay.
Get on out.
You just, like, I guess, grab him by the scruff of the sort of tattered garments he's wearing and push him towards the safe room. Ned, what's your plan?
Okay. We've got to get past him. He's sort of in the safe room with us, right?
Yeah, he's definitely between you and the exit to the safe room.
Okay. I put an arm around Billy and kind of pull him into my side, and then I fan open Thacker's archive.
Okay.
And hold it in front of Billy.
Okay.
And I tell Thacker, stand down, and we're slowly backing out as I'm saying this.
Okay.
Or I'm going to have the goat eat your book, and just slowly back, using the book as a hostage.
Okay.
Back out of the safe room. Hopefully that Thacker on some level will recognize his book and not want harm to come to, whether he understands my threat to have Billy eat it.
Absolutely. No, I like this. So you're going to roll here, and the roll is not to like, it's going to be manipulate someone, right? But it's not going to be like how good an offer is this to Thacker. It is how much of Thacker can you like pull to the surface of this like feral like beast. Go ahead and roll manipulate someone plus charm.
10 plus 1, which is 11.
Woo! Bazinga.
Wow.
Okay,
Bazinga,
something interesting.
Indeed.
Something cool happens. You pull this gambit and put your back up against like one of the side walls, trying to like sidestep past Thacker. And for like a split second, Thacker stands upright. And it is not like the curse has been lifted, hooray! But for like a second, that like black sheen that was across his eyes is just like gone. He has stopped sort of just like wildly like slobbering and is now just kind of like breathing deeply and puts his back against the wall. And you're very close to him, right? Like as you sidestep out of the room, you are like really, really close to him, but he doesn't attack. He keeps his distance. And as you step out of the room, what do you do?
And Aubrey slams the door.
Okay. Right as Ned and Billy clear the door, you slam it. And as soon as the door slams, this spell that was cast over Thacker fades, and he just charges the door. I'm envisioning kind of like a little circular glass, like a porthole window, or maybe not. I don't know. Duck, you envisioned this room. Is there a window on the door inside?
Oh, this is Ned's room.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had the infirmary. Ned, is there a window?
There's a TV monitor.
Okay. Oh, I like that. It's very, very high tech.
I can look in through there and see him break all the Ned's Hummel figurines or whatever he's going to do.
All of his bobbleheads.
He slams against the door. He just like charges and throws his body at the door a few times, and nothing happens. And then he just does the same thing that you've seen from Thacker this whole time. He just sits down on the floor and starts staring at the ground,
saving the bobbleheads.
Well, your snow globes made it. The bobbleheads may never bobble.
As long
again.
As he didn't get the PlayStation.
Bad news, Dad.
Your PlayStation 2.
PlayStation 2. You'll never be able to play, I don't know, Crash Bandicoot? Was that on PlayStation 2?
You'll never finish Blasto. On
your PlayStation 1. That's a very good pull. God, can our next campaign be Blasto inspired?
Yes.
Thank you.
everybody. This is Griffin McElroy, your Dungeon Master, your best friend, and your IT specialist. Looks like your files got broken. I'll deal with it later. Gosh. Thanks for listening to episode 17, I think, of the Adventure Zone Amnesty. I hope you are enjoying it. And I apologize for interrupting. It's very, very rude of me. But I got to read you some messages from our sponsors. Here for Antonio and Gianna. It's from Miranda, who says, to my wonderful brother and sister-in-law, we miss you so much here in Albuquerque. Sorry, Albuquerqueans. And hope that you are living the best life in Michigan. Thanks for introducing me to this wonderful podcast, and I can't wait to play more D&D together when we have the time. Sincerely, your favorite cleric and littlest sister. That was a sweet message, and again, apologies for saying the name of that town poorly. I was thinking of the one line in the Titanic musical, and I'm really narrow casting right now, where somebody calls it Albuquerque, and that's really, and that's always like the first thing I go to when looking at the name of that city. I'll try to get better. Here is another message. This one's for Olivia, and it's from Aiden, who says, hi, Olivia. Well, none of our friends will explore the magical realms of our imaginations with us. They're lost because I can't wait to take the journey with you. That sounds like drugs, but I meant wizard games. Love, Aiden. You know, wizard games are a kind of drug if you think about it, which is to say every time we recorded an episode of Adventure Zone Balance, we were all just like super high on fantasy. And mescaline. Hey, thank you for tweeting about the Adventure Zone using the Zonecast hashtag. If you do that, you might end up as a character in the show. I pull names from our Twitter mentions all the time. Probably not again for this arc, but once we hit the next story arc for Amnesty, I'm sure there will be new faces showing up, and you could be one of them. Just tweet using the Zonecast hashtag. We also just appreciate you spreading the word about our show. It's how we have gotten the listenership that we have now for the most part, and we are so grateful for those of you who have told a friend who you think might be interested in our show. Also thankful for Maximum Fun. You can go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great shows that they have. Shows like One Bad Mother and Switchblade Sisters and Story Break and so many more, all at MaximumFun.org. If you want to check out other stuff we do, you can go to McElroyShows.com. I think that's it. I'm going to let you get back to the rest of the episode. Thank you again for listening. We will be back with a new episode in two Thursdays, which is going to be November the 1st. Wow, 2018. It's really flying by. And thank God, it kind of sucks. So anyway, enjoy the rest of the show. Bye. We're getting Dad into Destiny.
Yes.
It's going to go great.
Speaking of Ditto, how come you're never on when I'm on? When do you play?
I play late at night.
Like a creepy creep. Like a creep. When you look in the shadows, there I'll be playing a little bit of Destiny. I got all of the coins. I got all of the jewels, but you'll never see me, you pesky fools. I'm hiding out. Don't you scream and shout. Hold my controller. Look, here comes a roller. That's what I call the bad guys in this game. And if you see me, it'll be a shame.
All right, so we are back. We're in act two of this episode. That was definitely how we started it. You heard us talk about Destiny for a while, which is regrettable, but then you got to hear Justin's great song, so I think it's all a sort of a neutral net sum.
And just like that, we're taking the show in a different direction. It's going to be much more about freestyle.
First half is all storytelling. Second half is all freestyle singing game reviews. We've just missed being in the games industry so much. Okay, we're back at it. I if it's cool with you all, unless you had like business you wanted to do at Amnesty Lodge, I wanted to hop forward to sort of your encounter at Indrid. He has requested that you bring the goat man to him so he can help you keep him safe.
I want to assume, just to say that we have like had Barkley like, hey, go tell mama, like,
well, how much
he broke out. We trapped him in the safe room, but he needs moved back into there. And he should be tranked at this point.
You're like talking about you're talking about Thacker.
Correct. Yes. Mama definitely was not home during all of this encounter. And Barclay, before we hop forward, I guess we're still in that first scene. Barclay says, like, are we going to tell Mama about old Billy?
See, here's the thing. This is a fun moment, people at home listening, because me, Travis, hates when people in any kind of media like, just don't tell the people on their team the truth because it always is more trouble than it's worth.
Yes.
But I also know that in this position, I definitely wouldn't tell an authority figure what was happening.
Sure. Like, just to set the to sort of set the stakes of this decision up, I don't think you necessarily, any of you necessarily know how Mama would react to this news. You do know that Mama has been hunting monsters like Billy, or rather beings like Billy, I guess, for 30 years now, and has lost a lot of friends to them, and, you know, lost her adult life, like doing anything else but hunting them. So like, she might not be stoked about the fact that you let one into her home. That's like, that's your gut feeling. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, you absolutely shouldn't. I'm just saying, like, that is, that's sort of the weight of this decision.
Were we all just simultaneously there waiting for the other ones to make the decision?
I say we don't tell her.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that too. At least not yet.
I hate that, but I think you all
are. I do too.
I mean, yeah, I hate it too.
They, like, do it on Arrow all the time. All the time.
True, they do it on Arrow all the time.
They do. Yeah, they do it on Arrow. You're right, Ned. How come we haven't all talked about our Arrow fandom yet? Like...
Yeah, in the fiction of this show, Arrow is the biggest, most popular show in the whole world.
And I assume every Thursday? I don't know when it airs.
In the dystopian future, Arrow has become something of a religion.
Arrow is truth. Freedom is Arrow.
Kill the Flash!
We are Arrow.
2 + 2 equals Arrow.
The afterlife is divided into heaven and the Speed Force.
Okay, Barclay kind of like shuffles his feet and looks down for a second. He says, "She has been more driven than usual since she got back from her time in Sylvain. I think that's the right call. I'll do my best. I don't really know how long we'll be able to hide him down here though, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess.
Well, we're taking him with us, so that's off the plate. You don't have to worry about him being here. And as someone who's always honest with everyone in his life, I think it makes me uncomfortable.
Where are you taking him?
We're going to go patrol and see if we can get some more answers out of him by showing him around. Right, Ned?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Okay. Let's, and then just like jump cut to you all standing in front of Indrid's Winnebago.
Yeah.
In the Eastwood RV park.
Listen to this program, just imagine Duck standing completely motionless and silent throughout all of that lying. Just like, he's like, Duck, is there something wrong with the lamp? Because you're like just staring at that lamp and not doing anything else. Like, are you okay?
So it's mid afternoon. The RV park is still like completely abandoned except for Indrid's Winnebago at like the back lot of the park. It's getting like I think like mid to late December at this point, and it's getting very cold outside, like painfully cold. It's still not like snowing, at least, you know, not naturally snowing, but it is it's, you know, in the 20s and you feel it like on your face. It is very, very cold. Indrid opens the door to his trailer, and you feel that like blast of heat from inside, from the what are those things called? Space heaters. Yes. The Billy kind of like recoils at the blast of heat, kind of catches him by surprise, and
also just to fill out the world here a little bit to help get Billy around the world. I think that we've maybe like gotten like a big like vampire like cape from like Ned's, like from the Cryptonomica, as part of like the Halloween, you know, movie kind of show that he does.
Okay.
And so we put this like vampire, you know, hooded cloak on him, and maybe some kind of mask, maybe like, you know, I don't know what, maybe,
but
like
the mask is a Krampus mask, so it's kind of just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
because we're promoting like the upcoming Krampus festival on Saturday Night Dead.
I like that. Right, okay. Right. Then in Barclay's like truck, or rather Mama's truck, like there, you definitely pass a car with like with Billy in the back seat, and they see Billy dressed up as the as the Krampus, and they look like really scared for a second. And then they remember, oh right, this is Ned's show, and they wave at you, Ned. And now we're back.
Billy waves back,
and now we're back in the RV park.
I think as time has gone on, we have made Billy more and more like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, I figured that would take maybe a quarter of an episode, and I was right. He Indrid motions you all inside, and he says, "Hurry inside, you." You won't be able to prevent the deaths of the innocent masses if you all catch a cold. And he motions you pressure. Into his Winnie. And
Billy, Indrid, Billy.
He smiles and he says, I know about Billy. I know about pretty much everything as soon as it happens, Aubrey. And okay, he says, sorry, that sounded douchey. I'm really sorry. I forget sometimes that can come off that way.
Come on, man. Manners, you know?
Sure. Like,
it's the only thing that separates us from the beast. No offense, Billy.
He lets you all inside, and as you all sort of shed your like heavy winter wear in this very, very sort of sticky, hot environment, he goes to the fridge and he says, could I warm you up with a cup of hot nog?
Pretty hot already. Fairly warm. I think we're good.
He offers hot nog to you, Ned and Duck. Any takers?
Do you think, do I want nog? I mean,
I don't know.
You should know if I'm going to have nog or not.
Okay, fine. Yeah, hold on. Wait. Yep, no nog. No nogs
wrong,
all around.
Wrong. I love nog.
Although you've changed the timeline.
Oh, no. I destroyed Earth.
He pours you a nog and hands it to you. And he says, it's funny, Duck. That is actually a great example of what's been going on lately. Before we get to business.
Yes, I'll have a nog.
Oh, okay. He pours you a nog. Aubrey, it seems like everyone's nogging out. Are you okay?
No, thank you.
He puts he offers Billy a nog, and Billy definitely takes the nog, but Billy doesn't know what to do with it. Billy, I think, pours it on his hands and starts washing his hands over the sink with the nog. Hold on.
Billy's definitely consumed a beverage before, right, Griffin? But like
he could lap at it, you know, like a cat.
I mean, hey, it doesn't seem like it. It certainly doesn't seem like it.
A clue.
So Billy just sprung fully formed onto this earth this morning?
I mean, you tell me. You don't know. There are still many things you don't know about Billy. But he's poured nog on his hands and he's washing his hands with it. And watching this with like just immeasurable amusement, Indrid says, there are new futures. Aubrey and Ned, I've already told Duck about this, but there are new futures that were all born the moment that you saved this fascinating creature. I see him present in several timelines, absent in some others, but it seems like you will all need to keep him close until his true purpose is divined. But obviously you can't have a large goat man wandering around with you, despite how clever a costume you have whipped up for him, Ned. I was spooked. I have not personally met the Krampus myself, but I thought maybe he had come to visit me with his wintertime malice.
Can I just say, listen, you've been helpful and all, but can we, like, cut through some mystery bullshit?
Thank you.
And could you just like answer this question directly?
Just one question.
Snow falls, right, and bad shit happens, but like Billy's not, it doesn't seem like Billy's making like bad fates happen. What the fuck is going on?
I'm trying to decide like what he would be able to tell you about this, but you've basically asked me, Griffin, the keeper, to solve the entire mystery of this arc for you in one question, which definitely isn't
something
going to happen.
There has to be something he can tell us beyond, like, vague, like, there's things in the future, and if you, like, okay, cool. Okay. So,
that's fair. He'll definitely firm things up. Okay. He sets down his nog, and the amusement that was on his face as he watched Billy fuck up is kind of gone.
Which also,
now,
can I just say, is very, like, he knew Billy was going to pour it on his hands and wash his hands with it. Indrid, you jerk.
Indrid, just to clear things up, like, as he explained in the last episode, like, it's not like he sees... It's not like he is living constantly 15 seconds ahead of you. He sees like lots of different possible futures, not all of them, but lots of possible ones. So like the way he described it is like watching like 120 television shows all at the same time and trying to like keep track of what's, it's hard to do that. So like, okay. I think he boasts, but I don't think he knows everything. Mm. So he looks serious for a moment and he says, I think it's probably time that we took stock of what we know about the thing that's changing the future. He says, while I'm doing that, and he walks over to like this small wooden chest at the foot of his bed and he opens it. And inside are a bunch of sort of are a bunch of garments, like loose articles of clothing, a lot of like accessories, like watches and bracelets. And just you also see just some junk in there, just a random assortment of items. And he says, Billy, why don't you root through here and find something that speaks to you, and I'll whip you up a charm that will give you a human-like disguise that you can use to navigate the world. And he gestures Billy over to this chest, and he starts rooting around. And he says, that was the main purpose of this visit. Hopefully with that, you all will be able to walk around with Billy in public without him having to dress up as the Krampus. I imagine after Christmas, that disguise isn't going to make much sense anymore. You can't have an April Krampus. April Krampus brings May Shrampus.
You know what really might lend itself to that would be, we can disguise a lot of him. We can disguise his body and, you know, put a hat on him. But it's those goat eyes. The goat eyes. Would you happen to have a spare pair of your spectacles, your sunglasses that you wear, those tinted glasses? Would you have an extra pair of those that perhaps Billy could wear that would, you know, obviously disguise his goatish eyes?
Aubrey mentally high fives Ned.
I mean, if that's what Billy picks, is if that's what Billy thinks fits his sort of persona.
Billy pretty much listens to me. We're pretty much. Maybe he could just, you know, try it out and see if it works.
Can we get back to the part where you were going to answer me?
Yes, of course. Sorry. So something is changing events at specific places to specific people and placing them on disastrous paths. The fact that you were all just targeted just now, moments ago, is in a way a boon. It means that these accidents aren't random. They are happening with intent. You were getting closer in your investigation to what is causing these accidents. You turned one of the enemy to your side. You had to be stopped. You were targeted. That means that there is a motive behind these attacks. If we can learn what the motive is, we can learn about who is perpetrating them.
Wait, hold on. So Billy and his two friends, they're not actually doing this, right? Like, they're not the ones changing the timeline?
You have spent more time with your new friend than I have. Does he seem capable of changing time?
That, honestly, he just seems like a real smart goat.
Wait. What if Billy and the other two, they're just like the foot soldiers? Maybe they work for whatever is changing the timelines?
That could be possible. Let's break things down. Let's go event by event. The first accident. Your friend Danimal. The Danimal, yes.
You say it in a way that makes me so angry.
You say it like it's a joke?
You say it like it's spoiled in your mouth and turned to ash. Just call him Rick Dannon then, if you're going to be like that. Shit.
Richard.
Mr. Dannon.
I can hang Danimal.
That's better, Danimal. Honestly. I will give it up to you for trying. Thank you for that.
Objects were taken from Danimal's truck. The tools of his trade. Leo's general store, the Pizza Hut sign fell into it. What could be the cause of that? Why was the funicular attacked? We know why you were attacked, because you're getting close to solving the mystery. Something happened at the general store that furthered their purpose. Something happened at the funicular that furthered their purpose.
Here's what I don't understand, because it's like I almost want to connect it that the Danimal was an employee of the Park Service, and then at the funicular, your friend was there, and she's an employee of the Park Service, but what does that have to do with the general store?
It was somebody else at the general store that we didn't identify. I remember that.
He was nobody. I'm sorry I included an NPC that I didn't even come up with a fucking name for. He is not the secret Voldemort of this campaign. I'm erasing. No, I'm Thanosing him from the timeline. There was nobody in the bathroom.
There's a voice.
Oh, wait a minute. Shazam.
There's a voice.
Snap your fingers.
There's a voice in my head that says that guy wasn't important.
Yeah, and then I feel that
you
too.
You feel that too. But then there's this other voice in my head that's like, it all turns on that guy.
Yeah, we can't trust that
or
first
gal
voice.
Or non-binary individual. I don't know. There's so many unanswered questions about this person.
We should spend 3 episodes investigating
That's
this
it.
Person.
Miniseries. I love it.
Was anything taken from the general store?
That's a good question. I'm going to go back there and look. And
we didn't ask.
Several hours later.
Oh, yeah, jump cut.
Jump cut. I went back and looked, and then I came back with editing.
Okay. Now, He says, there are some mysteries, but has your new friend told you anything?
He said grow? They're growing something?
Yeah, you know what? One thing that was missing was some tools, some gardening tools. They stole some of those from the Danimal.
Yeah, and he told us in his own weird way that they took those tools to help something grow.
Then it seems like that might be the culprit for what is changing the future. I think you all are sort of all caught up in trying to like summarize this mystery that you don't see Billy sort of standing now, sort of filling up the entire frame, the entire door frame into Indrid's bedroom where he is gone. And he has pulled out a watch, a nice big sort of metal band watch with a metal face on it. It is not operating. It is not ticking, but he has it, and maybe he just picked it because it was shiny and nice, but he bleats a few times and hands it to Indrid. And Indrid says, oh, thank you, friend. And he places it on a table. He like swipes some like Hot Pocket wrappers off the table and starts sort of tinkering with it. And you see like little flashes of light as he tinkers with it. And he says, so I will be honest with you. I am not much help right now. There are so many different ways that this can end up. Some are disastrous. Some are triumphant. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but what do you all think the next step is?
That's going to be up to Billy here. Because if he's been making something grow, I wonder if he'd take us. Billy, will you take us to what you've been growing?
Billy looks kind of nervous. And I don't know. I think you will have to roll and manipulate someone if you want him to do it, which means you'll have to like give him a reason to do it. But he, right now, he shakes his head. He shakes his head no. Hey. Without any kind of like effort, he just shakes his head. No, he is like adamant, no way.
Hey, Billy, let me try it. It's me, your pal Duck. Remember how you almost beefed it? And then I was like, not on my watch. And I threw you over my shoulder, and I spent several hours bringing you back from the brink of death. Just say duck if you remember.
Duck.
Thank you. Well, listen, I didn't ask anything in return. In fact, you kind of tried to kill me, which is fine. I get it. But I'm asking you for this. You do this, and we're square. You no longer have, I don't know if your people have any sort of life debt. You have to pledge me until the debts are paid or anything, but you do this, you help me out, we're square.
He sort of nervously nods, and he just kind of stands there. He looks very like, again, like he looks super conflicted. You get the sense that he is sort of weighing his loyalties right now and trying to figure out where exactly they land. And you see like one last sort of bright flash as Indrid sort of waves his hands over this watch on the table, and he walks over and hands it to Billy, and he says, I hope you like what I whipped up for you. And Billy takes the watch and he puts it in his mouth because he's a goat.
Billy.
He says pizza.
No, Billy, not pizza.
It's a watch, Billy.
Put it on your wrist.
He spits it out, and it lands in his hand, and he says, Duck. And he kind of like holds it. He like offers it to you, Duck, like he's like giving it to you.
No, listen, I don't need that. I appreciate it. Here, Here, let me help. I take it out of his mouth and I slip it onto his wrist. Or his like, and, not wrist, forehand. His wrist.
Okay. And wouldn't he have hooves instead of hands?
No, he's got hooves on the bottom.
Okay, I'd slip it around his beautiful...
Party up top.
Fetlock.
I've just Googled goat anatomy. Oh, no.
You'll never recover from this. Delete your computer.
He transforms instantly. You've seen this when I think you've mostly seen this from Barclay when he has taken the bracelet that he wears off and turned into Bigfoot and then tossed it back on. And he transforms into a human man. I can leave this up to Juice. Like, you basically are the one who brought this character into the campaign. Do you want to decide what he looks like?
Yeah, he looks exactly like Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Okay, so much so that people are going to see him on the street and be like, Ryan Gosling, and then he'll be like, pizza. They'll be like, probably not Ryan Gosling.
Griffin, at what point in that sentence did you realize that it's fucking great? Was it 4 words in, 5 words in? Curious the exact word at which my brilliance dawned on you.
And maybe, Griffin, in this universe, there hasn't been a Ryan Gosling till now.
Yes.
And moving forward, Billy will become what we know as Ryan Gosling.
Half goat.
And in the Notebook, it'll be like, what do you want?
Half goat, half goose. Half goat, half goose.
Okay, I'm into it. Sure, he looks pretty much exactly like Ryan Gosling. There it is. He is a very handsome. Like, Indrid actually takes a step back and he's like, whoa, damn. I guess I had your Earth's Ryan Gosling on the old brain when I was whipping that up. Sorry about that. That might end up being a little confusing.
I love when we just go ahead and cast the Adventure Zone movie for the directors. Like, don't even worry about it. Get me Ryan Gosling. It's canon.
And Ryan Gosling, Billy, looks at his, now flesh hands and looks at, the nice button-down that he is wearing under, a denim jacket. And he's, looking at his body, and he just says, pizza. No, I think he definitely still sounds like a goat. He definitely says, mm-hmm. Duck.
Duck, Gosling is what we'll call this arc.
Yowzers.
Ba-ba land.
The goat book.
Oh, man, there's so many.
There's so many excellent things.
First goat on the moon.
First goat man, Dad.
First goat,
sorry.
Goat man.
Goat.
Or first pan. We also would have accepted the first
we
pan.
We would have also accepted the first
goat
pan.
Drive. Goat. Hey, everybody, goat drive.
You're just putting up a bunch of... The
only goat, only goat forgives.
Blade Eater 2049, like grass, like blades of grass.
I got it. Yes.
Goatster Squad.
Yes.
The big goat.
You're looking at his IMDb page now.
The knockaround goats.
Goats is excellent. That's really
this
excellent.
This is the comedy rule of 39s has now applied, and we are
Lars and the real goat.
Okay.
I'm done.
It's just that they're all so good.
Yeah, I know. We've been usually in these episodes on a cliffhanger, button,
fade,
but like.
Just fade out.
Well, we need a last thing to say after it goes bong. So, Justin, why don't you just say one last really good one?
Crazy stupid goat.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Welcome.
Thank you.
No problem.
These are real podcast listeners, not actors. What do you look for in a podcast?
Reliability is big for me.
Power.
I'd say comfort.
What do you think of this?
Oh.
That's Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Jordan, Jesse, Go?
They came out of the floor?
And down from the ceiling?
That can't be safe.
I'm upset.
Can we go now?
Soon. Jordan, Jesse, Go. A real podcast.
What do you look for in a book? Literally, if on the back it said, like, this book made me shit my pants, I'd be like, that's, I'm buying this book.
Yeah.
Like, I think the problem with blurbs a lot of times...
I like that we both want to crap ourselves over books.
What's the best way to e-read in the tub?
Listen to that noise. I'm reviewing a plastic bag today.
How do you find a good book?
This is the most fucked up weird shit you've ever read. You're like into it.
I'm like,
hand it over.
Take my money.
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
We're Reading Glasses, and we solve all your bookish problems every Thursday on Maximum Fun.